everybody talks about healthcare. Everybody. It's always a hot topic. It's often debated. And everyone likes to chime in. It doesn't matter where you are. It pops up. But you know what? What do local doctors think of the situation here in Alberta? Well, there's town hall meetings going on. Joining us on the show this afternoon is Dr. Paul Parks, who is the president of the Alberta Medical Association. Dr. Parks, welcome.
Hey, how's things going?
Fine, thank you. Oh, town hall meetings, you kind of started this, if I'm not mistaken, a few weeks ago. How is this going?
Yeah, it's going very well, actually. We're kind of mid-tour now. We've hit Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer, and just finished Grand Prairie last night. And we have Lethbridge, then up to Fort Mac, and then back down to my hometown in Medicine Hat coming up. And it's been great. It's actually been very, very educational, and kind of connecting with the physicians in the communities has been very helpful for us.
Rumblings is maybe got a negative connotation to it, but what are the initial rumblings out there from all the doctors that you've been talking to?
Two big themes that are pretty obviously emerging. One, for sure, crisis in family medicine, so access to family medicine specialists, and the viability of the practices of family medicine out there, just the way the funding model is. They're really struggling to even keep the doors open and be able to do family medicine practice across the province. So that's one big one. And then, of course, talking to specialists and physicians in the acute care world in the hospitals, they're really struggling as well with capacity and workforce. So kind of two arms that are big pieces of the puzzle that we're seeing, that's being echoed at each place we go to.
Anything in particular has been a bit of an eye-opener? Maybe didn't see that coming? This popped up?
I think we kind of had a gist of this, but to be honest, some of the examples of family physician offices where I think a lot of Albertans might not totally fully understand that there really are like small business operators, and with inflation, with the way that the fee schedule hasn't modernized, it's kind of been quite eye-opening to me to realize how many family physician offices they simply can't pay the overhead, can't pay their staff, can't keep their offices open. It's gotten that critical, and I'm quite surprised to see that that's such a common theme across the entire province.
See, that's a great point, because I don't think your average person out there understands that. They don't understand that you have to heat the building, you have to, lease or rent the building. So I'm fascinated by the fact that that's one of the things that is concerning people. But has that been addressed before, and it's just getting stronger and stronger every time you get together with these town hall meetings?
Well, I think we're aware of it, but getting the real human impacts and the real examples is really driving home and allowing me then to be able to take those examples to the Minister of Health, for example, and the Ministry, and say, hey, like, here's what we're really talking about. And one of the big pieces that's really changed is that when we're talking to the family medicine specialists out there, for example, there's just so much stuff that's been offloaded to them, and so much administrative burden, and so much of the work that they actually do isn't paid. And the old fee-for-service model, where essentially the thing that frustrates Albertans even, where the only way the family doc gets paid is if you're sitting right across from them and they see the whites of your eyes and are interacting with you. And that's just not working anymore. We need to be able to do it where we can have some virtual care, we can have them see other team members, we can have a funding model that allows them to kind of support that evolution and be able to keep the lights on in their offices. And that's the discussion we're having with the ministry in an urgent manner right now.
How often do you do these town hall meetings?
Well, so to be honest, that's one of the reasons why we needed this, is the way that the last 4 years have gone, kind of a really adversarial government to the last government, tearing up the contract, and then COVID, we haven't done it for a long, long time. And so one of the things was, I think it was, it's been well received by the communities, because we're not just meeting members, we're actually meeting myself and the new CEO are meeting, Alberta Health Service leaders, but we're also meeting government, MLA, we're going to the universities and the schools in the area that are doing healthcare training. So we haven't done it for a long time, and I think it's been well overdue, and so it's been really well received, and it's been very helpful.
So you're getting all this information. It sounds like you're able to pass that along to the other agencies or the minister to say, this is kind of what we're hearing out there. How receptive are they to this information?
Definitely night and day compared to the last government. So I would say the working relationship with Minister LaGrange is excellent now, in the sense of that I think she and her ministry truly understand some of the crisis, the pieces we're talking about in family medicine, but also in the acute care world around you know what, let me put it in the most simplest terms. I think they've kind of realized that there is a workforce shortage across the country and even across the world for healthcare workers, for physicians, allied healthcare workers. And I think they're really seeing that we've lost the Alberta advantage. And if we aren't competitive and don't have funding models and a system that really supports physicians and allied healthcare workers, we are really losing the ground on competing with other provinces. And so we have to do something quickly. And I think they understand that.
So what's it going to take to be competitive?
I mean, a couple pieces. The climate, I think, is changing the climate where we have, you know, a narrative where physicians and nurses and allied healthcare workers really are a valued resource. That's one first step. I mean, warring and fighting with them is never a good idea because if they can, you know, don't feel valued and can go work somewhere else, that's any workforce would do that. But the bigger piece now, I think, is really modernizing how different positions in the workforce is paid. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, tons and tons of more money. It may need some investment in certain areas like family medicine, but it does mean changing how we pay so that it actually drives the outcomes that Albertans want and desire, so we can incentivize the type of care in the hospitals and in the community that we know Albertans want, right? So people want to be able to access their family doc in a day or two. They don't want to wait weeks or be left without one, for example. So we have to change that model.
So obviously people want to be well looked after, but the business part of this seems to be something that's cropped up here. The other thing, how many doctors in the province, and how much are we, what's the erosion like of the doctors and that sort of thing over the last few years? Because we keep hearing stories that there's less and less doctors in the province all the time. Is that true?
Well, you know what's interesting? One thing I can tell you with certainty is that it's hard to get a good picture of our workforce right now. And that's something I think we have to put at a very high level and say, listen, like, what is the exact state of our workforce? Where are they working? And you know, what do we need for the future? Are we meeting the needs right now? You know, if you're talking about like a $30 billion company, if that's what you thought about healthcare, kind of would be insane to think of a CEO running a $30 billion company and wouldn't know where their employees are or what kind of work they're doing. I think we have to change that because, for example, you know, the numbers on how many family physicians there are in Alberta is very confusing because maybe there are more than historically has been in the last couple of years, but we know for a fact, one, they're not doing longitudinal comprehensive care, so they're working in all other assets of the healthcare system that are not of the healthcare system that are not family medicine, longitudinal care like we would think it. And then the other piece around that is exactly like specialists. Where are they working? What kind of work are they doing? So do we have a workforce that's delivering the type of care we need right now? That's an answer I think we're struggling to answer.
As we move along with technology, too, very many companies get a little bogged down. I thought technology was supposed to make things easier for people, but there's more paperwork, there's more clerical work. Is that bogging doctors down a little bit? Would that frustrate them?
Oh, administrative burden is truly inordinate these days. And you know, so some things, when you have your electronic medical records and some, it makes some things better, but honestly, there is so much that gets added and added and added. And so one of the things we're seeing as we go across the province, talking to family physicians, it's just really eye-opening how much work gets offloaded onto them. So for example, as Alberta's trying to ramp up surgeries, which we should do because we have long wait lists, all the preoperative care and all the preoperative workup and then all the postoperative care, all of that gets kind of offloaded onto family physicians where there's forms for referrals, there's forms for follow-up, all these administrative work to the point where, for example, I don't think we've studied here in Alberta, but in Nova Scotia, the number, they estimated that the unpaid administrative work that family physicians have to do in Nova Scotia amounted to about 1.3 million missed visits. For the doctors. Like, it's that significant. It's that critical that we address it.
Hey, at the town hall meetings, too, it's got to be a different scenario between what's going on in Edmonton or the metro area as opposed to, let's say, Wainwright or, let's say, White Court or Pinoca. Do you find that there's definitely regional differences when you get into these town hall meetings?
Oh, there for sure are. I mean, so there's commonalities at workforce is the biggest commonality that we hear everywhere. Yeah. We're just truly struggling on recruitment and retention. But no question there are. And as the challenges that you'll face in the bigger urban centers, you know, often they'll be more around capacity in the acute care system and those pieces. But when you go out to the more rural pieces, it absolutely kind of boils down to, you know, having local input and how do they operate and how do they kind of function in the smaller, more rural areas. But even to the point where when a community doesn't have a physician there, doesn't have someone to kind of quarterback and be the foundation of the care there, then the hospitals close, the emergency departments close, and then that is just a domino effect, because then all those people have to travel far to the next regional center. That center is already overcrowded and struggling, and that just kind of keeps on trickling through the whole system, so it impacts everybody.
Thanks for your time today. When's the next town hall meeting?
So we're going down, it'll be early next week. We're in Lethbridge, and then, like I said, we fly back up to Fort Mac, and then we end in about a week and a half down in Medicine Hat.
Well, thanks for your time today, and we appreciate you being on the show.
Anytime. Happy to chat about this.
All right, there you go, Dr. Paul Parks, who's the president of the Alberta Medical Association. We hope that the information they gather will be heard by whoever needs to hear it, if you know what I mean, because everybody thinks there's a big struggle going on out there, so that's pretty much it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.